is on the subject of never growing up, which sounds a little bit confusing maybe at first, because, you know, we always think about the Christian life as the opportunity for us and even the necessity for us to grow up. And there are passages in Scripture that tell us that we need to grow and command us to grow. And there are passages in the New Testament that basically say if we're children spiritually, that's not a good thing. For example, Paul told the Corinthians that because of their sinfulness and some of the things that they were doing in terms of their behavior, he says, I couldn't speak to you as spiritual people, but fleshly people as babies in Christ. And by calling them babies, he wasn't paying them a compliment. They were spiritual babies that needed to grow up. Or Paul in Ephesians, he tells the Ephesians that they need to stop being like children, tossed here and there and carried about by every wind of doctrine. But they needed to grow up and become mature and not fall for the trickery and craftiness of false teachers. The writer of Hebrews tells his readers, you all ought to be able to be teachers by now, but here you are after all this time still needing this basic teaching. And he says, because you're still infants. So from the point of view of Scripture, we're not supposed to be spiritual babies and spiritual infants. We're supposed to be growing up into spiritual maturity. And there are dangers that are associated with being babies in the faith. But yet there's another side to this issue. There's another side to it, and that's the side that comes out in this passage that we're going to be looking at in 1 Peter chapter 2. There's a sense in which, as Christians, we're never supposed to grow up. We're never supposed to grow up. And this comes out in 1 Peter chapter 2. If you're not there already, you can turn to there. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to look at these first three verses and see how it is that the Scriptures admonishes us about, in one respect, staying like infants, staying like babies, and not growing up. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, Peter says this, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow up in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And right in the middle of that passage, right in the middle of those three verses, at the beginning of verse 2, really the heart or the center of the passage is this direct command. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word. In other words, when it comes to our attitude and our approach toward the Scriptures, toward the word of God, we're being commanded here to always be like babies. And in this sense, being like a baby is a good thing. Now you'll notice that in the passage, on both sides of that command, there are several other thoughts that Peter gives us here, the things that serve to reinforce that command. So we're going to just walk through these verses and see how the Apostle Peter is encouraging us as believers to be like babies, and in one sense, never really grow out of that. The first thing that we see here, I call it the contrast that comes in verse 1. The contrast is to lay off the spiritual junk food. Lay off the spiritual junk food. Verse 1 starts with the word therefore, or so, and that connects this passage to what he has told us previously in chapter 1. And I'm going to comment on that a little bit later when we get to verse 3. But right here, I just want us to see the contrast between the command in verse 2 to long for the pure milk of the word like a newborn baby, the contrast between that and what Peter tells us to do here in verse 1. He tells us to put aside certain things. Or some of our translations might say, lay these things aside, or put them away, or get rid of them. It's what you do with stuff you don't want, or stuff you don't need, or stuff that's not good for you. You're supposed to get rid of it. And in verse 1, Peter tells us to get rid of these five things. He says, get rid of all malice. Malice is any sort of hateful feelings that you might have toward another person. We're supposed to get rid of all deceit. It means any kind of deliberate dishonesty that we might express toward another person. He tells us to get rid of hypocrisy, which is any kind of pretense that we would have with another person, where we act one way or we speak one way. We're pretending to, for example, pretending to love or pretending to care, pretending to be spiritual, but that's really not what's going on inside of our heart. He tells us to get rid of envy, the fourth thing. And that's when we're resentful or we're jealous of what some other person has and we don't have it and we want it and we're envious. And then the fifth thing he tells us in verse 1 to get rid of is slander. And that's when we're speaking evil words of another person. Now you look at those five things here that Peter says we're to put off, or these things that we're supposed to get rid of or put out of our lives. What do they all have in common? Well, clearly they're all sins. But more specifically, they have to do with evil thoughts or evil words or evil actions toward other people. So they're relational sins. They revolve around having selfish or unloving or uncaring, unsympathetic or harmful attitudes toward other people. It would be the exact opposite of what we would call having a Christ-like attitude toward other people. And so in keeping with Peter's analogy that he brings up in this passage about food, we might see these five things as the spiritual junk food that we as Christians have to be getting rid of and working out of our heart. Because holding on to these kinds of things, holding on to these sinful, harmful attitudes and behaviors are only going to make us spiritually sick, spiritually unhealthy. Just like eating unhealthy food is going to affect our physical health. Well, several years back, I decided that I needed to try to lose some weight. So I kind of put myself on a diet, and I enlisted my wife, Sharon, to help me do this. And I said, Sharon, I feel like I want to just try to drop some pounds. So if you could just help me with this, just put like three normal size meals in front of me every day, and that's all I'm going to eat. I'm going to try to cut out all the other stuff and unhealthy stuff, and I just want to try to eat three healthy meals and see if I can drop some weight. And I knew that if this was going to happen, if I was going to actually be able to accomplish this, to try to drop some weight, to try to get healthier, I was going to have to change my eating habits and try to cut out, you know, some of the excess food from my diet, and specifically to try to cut out some of the junk food from my diet. You know, we all eat something every day. And the question isn't, are you eating? The question is, what are you eating? And just like that's true in the physical realm, it's also true in the spiritual realm, because every day we're taking things in to our heart. We're believing things. We're having attitudes. We're having thoughts. We're having motives, and those are expressed in words and behaviors toward other people. And so we have to ask ourselves, well, what is it? What is it that our hearts are full of? Is there a lot of spiritual junk food that we're bringing into our heart? The unhealthy stuff, the things like Peter lists here in verse 1, malice or deceit or hypocrisy, envy, slander. Peter says, you've got to put these things out of your life. You've got to get rid of this stuff. This stuff is bad for you. It's sinful. It's harmful. It corrodes the heart. It's the sort of stuff that will destroy us in the end, and it'll destroy our relationships with other people. Now, there's nothing worse than a person who's manifesting these kinds of attitudes, hateful or deceptive or hypocritical or envious or a slanderer. And that's not what we want to be as followers of Christ. That's not what we want to become. And Peter says we've got to root these things out of our heart. These are the things that will hurt us. These are the things that will destroy us, and it'll destroy our relationships with others. Now, moving on from that, from the contrast to get rid of the spiritual junk food, we've got this command, again, that comes in the heart of this passage at the beginning of verse 2, and that is the command to long for the pure milk of God's word. And we're to do this like newborn babies, Peter says. And he uses a really strong word here, long for. It has the idea of craving, to deeply desire something, to yearn for it. And again, if you've ever seen a hungry baby, you know what that looks like. That little baby is hungry. And when he gets his eyes on his mommy, it's like she's like an oasis in the desert. He's like, he only has eyes for her, and he's crying out, even if he can't express the words, I need you. I need to eat. I need this nourishment. Back when I was in seminary myself, at the beginning of one of the academic years, they had a retreat, and they brought all the professors, and they invited not only the students to come on this retreat, but their wives and families. So Sharon and our family, we had the opportunity to go on this weekend retreat, and we were getting started. It was in the morning, like maybe mid-morning, and one of my profs got up, and he was going to give a little devotional, and he happened to give a devotional on this very passage, 1 Peter 2, verses 1 to 3. And he was just reading the passage, and he got to verse 2, and he had just read the words, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word. And like right at that exact same moment, Sharon was in the back with our little newborn son. And like he no longer got the words out of his mouth, like newborn babies long for the pure milk of the word, that little Joel went, bah! You know, and started to squawk in the back of the room. It was like, you can't make that stuff up, you know, it just happens, it's amazing. He started to squawk and announcing, you know, to the entire room of us that he was hungry. You know, that high-pitched, edgy voice that a newborn baby has. And when you hear that, it's like everybody has the same thought. Somebody get that baby out there and get him something to eat. And so Sharon did that. She hustled him out of the room and went and fed Joel. But he was hungry and he was longing for that food and he needed that nourishment and he cried out for it, as newborn babies do. And just like it is with physical food, Peter's saying it should be the same thing for us as Christians in terms of the spiritual food and nourishment that we need. Our attitude and the approach that we have toward the Word of God should be just like a newborn baby. We ought to crave it. We ought to desire it. We ought to be longing for it, yearning for it, realizing our need for it, wanting it. Now, even as I say that and we think about that, sometimes our reaction might be something like, I don't really feel that urge, that longing, that craving, that desire to read the Word of God. Yes, yes, I know the Bible is the Word of God. But, you know, I can kind of maybe go days or even months without really being in the Word of God. If that's something that we would ever think, or you might even be thinking it today, I guess I would challenge us with this possibility: that is it possible that if that's our reaction to this, is it possible that our appetite for God's word is being deadened, perhaps, by spiritual junk food that we're allowing into our heart? Again, going back to verse 1. Maybe these are the sorts of things that we're taking into our hearts too much on a regular basis, whether it's through our own thought processes, through the media, through our friends, the people we hang around with, the things we're reading, the things we're watching, the things we're letting into our heart. We're allowing those kinds of things to take root in our thoughts. They're coming out in our words, are coming out in our behavior. And if that's happening, is it any wonder that we don't have an appetite for God's word? Back those several years ago when I was trying to drop those pounds and had kind of changed my diet in a pretty significant way, there's an interesting thing that happened to me. Over a period of months, I noticed that I had a growing appreciation for the taste of food, even just the plain old things, you know, that you eat, like vegetables. It's like everything was tasting really good to me. It was tasting better. If you limit your food intake, you kind of learn to savor every bite. You know, if you're only limiting yourself to three meals a day, you enjoy every bit of every meal because you know it's going to be several hours before the next meal. And during those months that I was doing this, I kind of allowed myself like one indulgence every week. On Sunday, I allowed myself to have a bowl of ice cream. And that was it. Like one dessert for the week. And it's like I found myself just longing for Sunday. I was like, boy, I can't wait till Sunday gets here. Why, you want to be in church, you know, and worship and study the scriptures? No, I can't wait for my half cup of ice cream Sunday night. And I was like, Sharon, what is a serving of ice cream? Like, I didn't even know what servings were. I'd never even thought of it. She's like, well, it's a half a cup. So I'm like, you know, if you know me, I'm like real precise. So I'm like, all right, I got out her half cup measuring cup and the vanilla ice cream, and I packed it in there and tamped it down and scraped it off level. It's like, okay, I'm going to have exactly one half cup of vanilla ice cream every Sunday, and that's it. It's like, nothing ever tasted so good than that one half cup of vanilla ice cream. Because I had limited myself, it really was something that I looked forward to and longed for. In this passage, there's a direct correlation between what happens in verse 1 and what happens in verse 2. For the believer who's serious about putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander, for that believer, the word of God will come and grow to taste like a banquet to someone who is famished. The word of God will become like an oasis in the desert. And again, if we find that we aren't craving the pure milk of the word like a newborn infant, if that's not happening, if we don't sense this desperate need for the input of God's word into our life on a regular basis, could it be that our heart might already be too stuffed full with a load of spiritual junk food? It's possible. So we've got to be putting out the sorts of things that Peter lists for us in verse 1. Put away the spiritual junk, and you will grow to crave and long for the pure milk of God's word. Well, after the contrast that he gives us in verse 1 and the command that he gives us to long for the pure milk of God's word as newborn babies at the beginning of verse 2, leads us to the third point here, the consequence that comes in the second half of verse 2, and that is to look to the end, your complete salvation. He says in verse 2, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. So that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Now, every part of that phrase there at the last part of verse 2 is loaded with significance. You've got the word so that. That indicates purpose. Peter's commanding us to crave the work of the Word of God for the purpose of growth. For the purpose of growth. The words by it, so that by it, that indicates the means of growth. So spiritual growth can only come to us as believers by the input of God's Word into our heart. Now, I want to pause just for a moment here. You might be thinking, wait a minute, I thought you said at the beginning of this passage, we're supposed to stay babies and never grow up. Now you're saying we're supposed to grow up. So which is it? Well, I think in this passage, it's actually both. It's both. There's a sense in which we do have to grow up in our faith, but the attitude and approach that we always have toward the Word of God is never supposed to change. It's always supposed to be like that newborn baby. Crave for the pure milk of God's Word. Why? Because that's the only means that we have by which we can grow up in our faith. That's why we need to always be craving it. We can never get to the point as a believer where we say, oh, yeah, I've really grown out of Bible study. I've really grown out of Bible reading. I've kind of grown out of the need to have daily devotions. I really don't have to do that anymore. Never can a believer say that. Back to verse 2 then. So the word "so that" indicates purpose. "By it" indicates the means. How about the words "in respect to salvation"? That requires a little bit more thought, "in respect to salvation." It's an interesting phrase that Peter uses there. It's literally "grow up into salvation." Grow into salvation. So it's interesting. Peter kind of presents the idea of a Christian growing up to their salvation as if salvation's adulthood, and we're kind of growing up to it. But yet we might ask ourselves, wait a minute, I thought salvation was something we already have as believers. Aren't we already saved? You know, from the moment we trust Christ as Savior, we already have salvation. We're already saved. How can salvation be something I don't have yet? How can salvation be something I'm still kind of growing up toward, or something I'm still shooting for? Well, I think to understand that completely, we have to go back and think about how Peter talks about salvation in this letter. And he actually talks about salvation with a future orientation in this letter. Like, for example, back in chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, he refers to salvation three different times there, but he's talking about it as a future thing. He calls it a living hope. It's something we're hoping for, but we don't have yet. He calls it an inheritance that we're still waiting to receive. He calls it our salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So again, he's talking about salvation as something that's future. The completion of it is future. In chapter 1, verse 13, he does the same thing. He refers to our salvation as something that will be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ returns for us, we'll receive our salvation at that point. So when Peter's talking about salvation in his letter here, he's talking about the completion of our salvation in the future when we're with the Lord in glory. So that's what he's talking about when he's referring to our salvation here, I think, in chapter 2 and verse 2, when he says we have to grow up to our salvation. The Christian life is a journey toward that complete salvation. There is a past aspect of our salvation. There's a present aspect of our salvation, but there's also a future aspect of our salvation. And that's that aspect we're all moving toward. We're all growing up toward the completion of our salvation, when we will be forever with the Lord, when we will be forever delivered from all our sin. So here's a question. Are you living like someone who someday is going to experience salvation in that complete sense? Someone who someday is going to be completely sinless, perfect, holy, glorious, as pure spiritually as the Lord Jesus Christ himself is pure. We're all in the process of growing up in our salvation in that final, fullest sense. So as a newborn baby, I'm supposed to be craving the pure milk of God's word, because it's by that very word that you and I are growing up to our full salvation. You know, we can't get to sinless perfection completely in this life, but God wants us to be growing toward it. When I was trying to drop pounds off, I found that as I was losing weight, I was feeling weaker. So I started to work out a little bit with weights. And I could have had the attitude, you know, I could go on YouTube and watch these NFL offensive linemen, you know, who can bench press 750 pounds, you know, and I could have said, like, there's no way I could ever do that. And I could not even try to learn how to lift weights. But no, I was like determined to learn how. So I had a friend who helped me start working out and lifting weights and stuff. And I got on the bench press and I was like, I could only do like 90 pounds when I started, which really isn't that much. But after several years, I can do a lot more than 90 pounds. Now, I'm never going to be a 350-pound offensive lineman who could bench press 750 pounds or whatever. But I can do now more than I could back when I started. And our spiritual growth is that way. You know, we can't grow to complete spiritual perfection in this life, but we can make a lot of progress, and we can accomplish a lot of growth by the grace of God with the help of the Spirit of God. God wants us all to be involved in that process of growing up into our salvation. And the means to do that is through the Word of God. The last point we want to look at here in this passage is the condition. The condition. Link your growth to your birth. Verse 3. Verse 3, this passage ends, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Do all these things if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And it's kind of a quotation from the Old Testament. Psalm 34 and verse 8, the psalmist says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And Peter kind of puts it in this form. If you have tasted that the Lord is good. Have you? It's kind of what he's asking us by putting it that way. Have we tasted that the Lord is good? I said we'd come back to the very first word of this passage, the word therefore, and what's the connection to the previous context? What's the connection of this passage to chapter 1? And this is how the connection comes. He says at the beginning of this passage, therefore, do all these things. At the end of chapter 1, Peter reminds us of a very important truth about the Word of God. Back there in chapter 1, verse starting in verse 23, he says, for you've been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring Word of God. You have been born again through the Word of God. Through the living and enduring Word of God. And then he quotes from the Old Testament, all flesh is like grass, all its glory like the flowers of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. So, here's the question I think Peter's asking us and challenging us with this last thought here. If you have in fact tasted that the Lord is good, have you experienced that new birth? Have you been born again? If you haven't been, you surely need to be. Jesus says in John 3, you must be born again. We all must experience the new birth through faith and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you and I have been born again, if we have tasted that the Lord is good, then we need to be reminded of this key truth, that just like we could only be born spiritually by the imperishable, living, and enduring Word of God, so too you and I can only grow up into our salvation by the pure milk of God's Word. I'm thankful that I had the amazing privilege to be present when all three of our children were born. And you get a first-hand experience of the miracle of human birth. It's just absolutely amazing. You know, and the more scientists study about these things and learn about these things, the more we can be in awe of God's creative skill. And we know that when the baby is born, those first minutes and hours are absolutely crucial for the health and welfare of that newborn baby. God provides through the nursing mother, this very special form of nourishment. And it contains everything that that newborn baby needs to be healthy and to grow. Highly concentrated nutrition. Very, very easy for that newborn baby to digest. It contains all these crucial antibodies to help that newborn baby fight off disease and infection. And the list goes on and on and on about all the benefits that are in that nourishment. So God, the creator of physical life, he knew exactly what you and I would need from the very first moment of our birth. What we would need to be healthy. What we would need to start that process of growing up physically. And what is true in the physical realm is also true in the spiritual realm. God, the giver of new life, the giver of spiritual life, the giver of eternal life, he knows exactly what you and I needed from the moment of our new birth to grow up spiritually into our salvation. What we needed for birth, what we need for growth is this. What we need is the pure milk of God's word. So I just want to encourage us today with that idea and that command to never grow up. Never grow up. Be like a newborn baby. Do what he tells us to do in verse 1. Get rid of all that other spiritual junk food that can only harm us. And like a newborn baby, crave the pure milk of God's word. And let the living and enduring word of God grow us up into our salvation. Whatever it is that you can do to get into God's word on a regular basis, sometimes it can be really helpful just to have a regular plan, or there are many, many tools that are out there that are available. There's a particular tool that I started using on my computer through a Bible program called Logos that I have on my computer. And so that comes with all sorts of reading plans. So there's a reading plan that I picked up on a couple of years ago. And I liked it so much that I'm in my third year through it now, where I read through the entire Bible in 1 year. It's just an amazing thing to be in God's word on a regular basis. Someone once said that, you know, the word of God, if you use the analogy of water, the word of God is shallow enough that a little baby can interact with it and not drown. But yet, on the other hand, the word of God is so deep that we can never plumb the depths of it. And as we read God's word day in and day out, it comes into our heart, it becomes a part of our life, and it's the means God uses to grow us up in our salvation. So be in God's word. Be in God's word and grow. Lord, thank you so much for the word of God, the living and enduring word of God. It's the word of God by which we are born again, and it's the word of God by which we are to grow up to our salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation you've provided for us through Jesus Christ. Thank you for the word of God, the nourishment that you've given us by which we can grow. I pray, Lord, that you would just renew in each of us a desire, a longing, a craving. And Lord, if we're not experiencing that, we cry out to you and ask you to give us that desire and that longing and that craving. Because we know we need you, and we know we need your word. And so we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.